Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 396, Thanksgiving, Mercy, and Grace. Pastor Harley Kolterman delivered this message on Sunday, November 24th, 2024, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So, Father, we just come today in repentance, Lord, for our own sins and the sins of our nation. Lord, as we come into this Thanksgiving season, Lord, we have so much to be grateful for, so much to be thankful for. And because of all the nations in the earth, we are truly, truly, truly blessed. In spite of the way we've lived and in spite of our culture, in spite of all the things going on around us, Lord, you've had mercy on us and your grace has been sufficient. Your power has been made perfect where we're weak. And so, Lord, we come to you today, Lord, with gratefulness, with repentance, and with thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, that you would raise up this nation to be, again, one nation under you, God, indivisible, with liberty and with justice for everyone. We ask you, Lord, for your tender loving kindness and for your mercies, Lord, to be spread across our nation during this season. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. So the book of John opens this way. This is actually from the 14th verse. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Full of grace and truth. That's an important word about Jesus, the person who is full of grace and full of truth. So as we enter this season, we're reminded that there's a throne of grace. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So grateful that we have that throne of grace that we can come to, where we can find grace to help in time of need. So as we look around in our families and our friends, as we're gathering together over this Thanksgiving season, undoubtedly there will be needs and other kinds of things that are coming up and things, opportunities for us to pray and to minister to people. But we can only do that if we come from a heart filled with thanksgiving. We can only do that if we can come with a heart that's full of grace and mercy. Because obviously God has not held our sins against us. He took them and put them on Jesus. The Bible says he bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live to righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. What a wonderful redemption. And how grateful we should be for what he's done for us. And how can we extend that mercy to others that maybe haven't found that place in him to find that throne of grace or to find that help in time of need. So we're prayerful and we're anticipating that as you go to your families this week, that you'll have an opportunity to minister to them. I want to take you to a story in the book of Luke this morning, from Luke chapter 17. And this story really kind of illustrates that, but I want you to pay attention particularly to the area of mercy and grace that Jesus extended to people when he was on the face of the earth, when he was walking with his disciples and ministering to people. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 says, "Now it happened that as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And so when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." Verse 17 says, "Jesus answered and said, 'Were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. What an amazing story of the grace and the mercy of God. The men who were relegated to the fringes of society, who were outcasts among their own people, and who were having to live in isolation because of their dreadful disease. Amazing how Jesus had mercy on them when they cried out for mercy. So maybe you have some issues, some things going on in your family, going on in your life that look impossible, because that's the condition these guys were in. They were facing the impossible. They had to live out the rest of their life in that condition, only deteriorating, not getting better, only getting worse, only anticipating the worst in life, never having any hope for anything better until they heard of that one person, Jesus. And when they heard of Jesus, they cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So I want to talk to you today about thanksgiving and mercy and grace. In the book of Psalms, in the 100th chapter, verse 4, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. The first part of that is enter his gates. So if you can't find the gate, you're not going to enter in. If you can't find the place to enter in to bring praise and thanksgiving to God, you're sunk before you start. Thanksgiving from the heart is the key. It's like the passcode to get in. But each person, every person has to find their way to that place, that way to come into the gate, the way to come into the place that where the presence of God is. So my observation over the years of ministry and over years as being a believer, we got saved pretty late in life, in our 30s, and really just, you know, we were church people before that, but we really didn't commit our lives to him until we were, I don't know, maybe 28, 29, 30, somewhere thereabouts. But what we discovered was that we had to find a way to get in to the gate, because maybe it's not so easy. Life is busy. Our kids were little. Lots of stuff going on. Lots of challenges. Challenges financially, challenges in our careers, challenges in our families. But we had to find that way. And what I've observed over the years is that for different people, it's different to come in to that place, to enter, to find that passcode, to find that key that comes into the gate where you come into the presence of God. Sometimes, you know, when we have found that place in our own lives, we try to put that on other people and try to make them come in the same way, and somehow it's not one size fits all, because it just doesn't work. You can't live off of somebody else's experience with God or somebody else's way that they come into the presence of God. So what I've observed is that many people, you have to find your own way in. In Genesis chapter 5, I mean, this goes all the way back, really, before Genesis chapter 5. It goes back to Genesis 1, where Adam and Eve came into the presence of God, and the Bible says they walked with him in the cool of the day. That's how far back the quest for coming into the presence of God goes. But the first mention of somebody after the fall is in Genesis chapter 5, where it says in verse 22 that Enoch walked with God 300 years. Now, I don't know how many of those 300 years he had to use to find that place where he could walk with God, but this man Enoch, the seventh generation from Adam, is an interesting man, because he's one of the few people who never died. He just went to be with God. I guess he walked with God, and one day he just didn't come back for dinner. He just kept walking. And He never showed up. I don't know what his wife or what his family thought, but he was gone. The Bible says that God took him or received him during that walk. But he found the key. He found the way to come into the presence of God. His seventh generation removed grandfather had lost the way to walk with God in the cool of the day, but Enoch found a way to walk with God and successfully navigated the rocks and the river till he came into the presence of God in an amazing way. So everyone has to find that. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, it says that Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him, but he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we know from that there's something about our diligence in seeking God, in finding that place, that key, that passcode to the gate to enter in to his presence. I have a friend from Portugal that established a church in Portugal many years ago, and it grew to many thousands of churches around the world. But he started with eight people in his family room, in his living room, in an apartment in Portugal after emigrating from South Africa, where he was born, or where he lived and went to Bible school. But for him, coming into the presence of God was learning how to meditate in the Word of God. So when he came to Portugal, he actually took his lunch break at his job as a civil engineer, and he would walk for a half hour, 15 minutes one way, 15 minutes back. And during that time, he spent it meditating on the Word of God. And he had certain scriptures that he meditated on, scriptures that had to do with every aspect of Christian life. And what he said that he discovered was that as he meditated on those words and began to roll them over and over and over as he was making his walk, that the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit would come into his life. And when that happened, he discovered that he could come to God and he could pray, and that God would answer his prayers in remarkable ways because he was in the presence of God. He was in the presence, he was in the secret place. Happened on a street in Portugal. So there isn't any particular place or any particular way that you should do it. I suppose, you know, over the years he's encouraged people to do it the same way that he's done it. He's actually written a book called Daily Spiritual Workout, which outlines that methods or the things that God showed him during those days in order to come into the presence of God and to have remarkable things happen in his life and in his ministry through the meditation of the Word of God. But I suppose you can't make somebody do the same thing and get the same results. So for different people, it's different coming in. I have another friend, Pastor Larry Stockstill from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, who uses the tabernacle prayer that Dr. Yonki Cho taught him when he went to South Korea to visit the great church that was there. It was raised up by Dr. Yonki Cho in South Korea. For many years was the largest church in the world. But he had a method. He had a methodology of going before God using the vessels and the things that were found in the tabernacle, and that he would come into the presence of God in that way. And when he would come out of that time with God, going through those things in the tabernacle, repenting for sin and so forth and so on, that he would come into the presence of God and God would do remarkable things in his ministry as well. And Pastor Larry has raised up many, many ministers here in the U.S. that are notable men of God, ministers of the gospel, planted churches all over this nation. But for him, it was a different way than with my friend from Portugal. Dr. Summerall, my pastor and mentor, God visited him with visions, not every Saturday night, as some people seem to try to have visions and dreams every Saturday night to come into the presence of God. I don't know how that works. I've never known it to work in my life, but he had a number of remarkable visions that brought him into the presence of God. The first one when he was dying of tuberculosis when he was age 17. And God came to him in a vision and and gave him a choice. He could take the Bible or he could take the coffin. And if he took the Bible, he would preach the word of God and live. If he took the coffin, he would be gone. And so after wrestling with God, he came to a place of decision that if God would keep him alive as long as he preached, he soon would be the oldest preacher in the world, because he was going to preach and he was going to stick to it. So he, as he tells the narrative, he got healed that night, woke up well and whole, and was able to eat breakfast for the first time in many months. And so then he started going out fishing with his friends and kind of messing around for a couple of weeks. And one day when he was fishing, God spoke to him and said, "When are you going to do what you said you were going to do? Go out and preach. Today." So that was the day that he turned around his life and began to preach the gospel. Later on, he had a vision of seeing all the people of the world going towards, moving on the road of life and marching all in one direction. And when they came to the end of the road, it actually was the precipice that fell into hell, where he saw flames and he saw people from every area of the world going to hell, screaming and kicking and scratching themselves and carrying on and cursing God. And God told him that he was responsible for those people. That's a remarkable way to come into the presence of God. He said he wrestled in that schoolhouse all night long until he was covered with sweat and was covered with mud, actually, because the schoolhouse floor was a dirt floor where he had been preaching. And that night he became a missionary to the world and took the gospel to many nations. After that, at age 20, he started. But those are some remarkable ways to come into the presence of God. He had some other visions later on. The last ones that he had in life had to do with feeding hungry people worldwide, where Jesus came to him from 12 midnight one night in a hotel room in Israel and spoke to him till 5 in the morning, laying out what he would do in this last phase of his ministry, another remarkable encounter with God. So you can't manufacture those things, you can't copy those things, but the reality is that every person has to find the key. Every person has to find the passcode. The Bible says those that hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. And if you want to be filled, you're going to have to find the place to come into the presence of God in order to receive the filling that he has for you. You have to be the one that perseveres through whatever the obstacles are to come into that place where you can find the presence of God. Whether it's worship in your home or whether it's in your prayer closet, however it is for you, you need to find that place. In all those ways, though, there's a sense of thanksgiving. There's a sense of gratefulness. In Psalm chapter 91, verses 1 and 2, it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. He is my God. In Him I will trust." Finding that secret place may not be easy, but it's necessary, because it's in that place that you'll find grace to help in time of need. Under the shadow of His wings, you'll find that place of grace to help in time of need. So whatever your challenges are today, I want to encourage you to take this time during our Thanksgiving season to renew your relationship with God, to renew your quest for His presence, to renew your coming into His presence with thanksgiving in your heart, to come into His courts with praise, as the psalm we just read a little bit ago is. The second thing about that is that you have to enter His courts with praise. I was thinking about that this week and just asking, okay, why would that be the way to enter into His courts? So this is a picture really of the temple, which had gates into the temple area. Then there were outer courts, there were inner courts, there was the Holy of Holies, there were the holy place and the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God was. And the idea was transitioning until you got into the presence of God. And that's what David was writing about when he wrote that Psalm 100, when he's saying, enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart, enter into his courts with praise. But when I was thinking about that, I thought about John chapter 4, verse 23, where Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well, at the Samaritan well, where he says, but the hour is coming and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when we're seeking to enter into his courts with praise, it's about coming to God in spirit and in truth. Coming to that place of worship from our heart, where our heart is connecting with his heart. And praise is evidently the key into that inner court where God's presence dwells. Praise from the heart, true worshipers worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. I know that sometimes when we come together, you know, we sing the songs, but our mind is 1,000 miles away, or we, you know, we pray the prayers, or we go through the service and we're just somewhere else because we got this going on, that going on, something's happened in our lives, some kind of transition is going on and we're not comfortable with it, etc., etc. But the place to come to God is to surrender our hearts to him and to yield ourselves to a place where we can bring him genuine worship and praise from the heart. We need to learn that transition, and probably the issue is many times is that if we don't do it at home, if we don't do it when we're alone, we're not going to be able to do it in a place of worship, in a house of worship where other people are praising God. You know, sometimes we're amazed, you know, when the presence of God tangibly comes into the place and people's hearts and lives are touched in amazing ways. But it has to do with people individually seeking after God and coming into that place on their own so that when they come together, we're the body of Christ. We're the place. We're supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit individually, but also the Bible speaks to us, speaks about us to being living stones that build the temple, the habitation for God. So when we come together as a church family, we should be able to come into the presence of God in new and powerful ways, where the presence of God comes into the place and every life is touched, every sickness is healed, every person that's weak gets strong, every person that has issues gets them answered, and it's a place where God's presence brings amazing things. You know, we've been through, I've observed what people call revival in many nations. I traveled to over 60 nations, 55 of them with Dr. Summerall when we were feeding hungry people. So I saw revival in many lands where people were seeking God and were seeing amazing things happen in services where people were set free from demon power, where people were healed of sicknesses and disease, where the presence of God was so tangible you almost could cut it with a knife. It was so amazing. But you can look back and see those things in kind of history, but why not now and why not today? So, and why if not there, why not here? You know, it's like you have to come to that place where collectively and individually we're seeking after God and coming into the place of his presence. That means that we have to put away some stuff. In order to do that, that means that we have to make space for it. Really, I think that's one of the issues in our society, in our culture, is that we just really don't make a place for God, so he has no place to enter into our lives. He says, if you will draw near to me, I will draw near to you. He's always kept that promise for people throughout history, in the Bible and outside of the Bible, beyond, you know, in the history that's happened of Christianity throughout the centuries. And praise the Lord for that. So why should we enter his courts with praise? Because God is seeking worshipers who would worship him in spirit and in truth. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9, it shows the opposite of what happens with that. Jesus was speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and he said, "This people draws near with their mouths. These people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me after their with their lips, but their heart is far from me." So God is all about your heart. He's all about you seeking him with your whole heart. And he says, "In vain they worship me, teaching for as doctrines the commandments of men." So we don't want, as a church, to come to that place of just being religious. We want to become to that place where we're really coming into the presence of God and seeking his face with all of our heart. So thirdly, I want to point out that there's really two imperatives. One of them is to be thankful to him. Be thankful. We live in a society that's not thankful, that's not grateful. And it's, I suppose, in a way, it is, it's prophetic, because the Bible, the prophets said that in the end times would be perilous times, when men would depart from the faith and where there's all kinds of evil and stuff going on. And one of the things that's in that list of evils is that those people are ungrateful, not thankful for anything. And so sometimes when we look around, we just think about, how can people be so ungrateful for what we have in this nation? How can people be so ungrateful for those that have gone before us to make a place that we could live in freedom like no other place in the world? How can you be so ungrateful as to not acknowledge that God is the God of heaven and earth, and that he created this nation to be a great nation that seeks after him? So, but this is Thanksgiving time, so we have a chance to relive, to re-enter those areas and to think about those, and to turn our lives around and touch the face of God. Be thankful. The second thing is to bless his name. The name of Jesus is the name above every name, at which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And when we do that, we're bringing blessing to God, and we're bringing blessing back on ourselves, because this is God's way. This is his method. This is his invitation, really, to come into his presence. Praise the Lord. So in conclusion, what are the results of this? The first is that the Lord is good. Those verses from Psalm 100 and Psalm chapter 100 say that the Lord is good. Recognizing the goodness of God is an amazing thing, because he is good. His goodness is unsurpassed. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" So when we come into the presence of God, it will bring a change of heart and a change of life. So we really must enter into that quest and receive the result of it, which is the goodness of God. The second thing is that his mercy is everlasting. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, it says, "Seeing then that we have such a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in every point tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." God is there for you. He's waiting for you. He's longing for you. He wants you to come into his presence. He wants to bring his mercy, which is everlasting, into your life. If we got what we deserved, we'd all be a grease spot on the sidewalk somewhere. But thankfully, the Lord of heaven and earth is a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. And then finally, truth reaches to every generation. In John chapter 8, verse 31 says, "And if you were..." John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32 said, "Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" So grace and truth are important. Grace and truth can be found in the presence of God. And when we go on that quest to find his presence, to enter his gates with thanksgiving in our heart, to enter his courts with praise, then we can find that the Lord is good. We can find that his mercy is everlasting. We can find that his truth reaches even to our generation and beyond. Praise the Lord. So in summary, that true thanksgiving really is not a man's idea. It's a God idea. Jesus taught us that God is looking for people who worship him in spirit and in truth. And that begins with thanksgiving and begins with praise. He truly wants us to come boldly before his throne of grace and to find his mercy, to receive his mercy, to find his grace, his beautiful favor. He always wants us to be there. He always wants to be there for us in our time of need. So as we celebrate this Thanksgiving Day, let's celebrate by first entering into his wonderful presence. Then we will have plenty of grace for family and friends, feasting and fellowshipping around the dinner table. So let's pray. So Father, thank you for this opportunity to remind ourselves of your presence and the beauty of your presence, Lord. Lord, we ask you that you would make us and raise us up to be a church of disciples who follow after Jesus in such a way that we honor you not just with our lips, but with our hearts, and that we long for being in your presence, Lord, to walk with you, to talk with you, to be with you, Lord, every second, every moment of the day. We ask you, Father God, that as we join our families and as we minister to them over this week, that we will be really good ambassadors for Christ, Father, that we will be faithful to honor you, faithful to lift you up amongst our loved ones, Father God, and those that we're coming in contact with during this Thanksgiving season. We thank you, Father God, and we bless your name today because you are good and your mercy endures forever to every generation. And for it, we're grateful in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So thank you, people, for joining us online. We bless you and we extend our best wishes for your Thanksgiving and blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. See you next week. Come here in person. We'll bless you in person.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.